listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up an hour from now, our pal James Palmer from the NFL Network is going to stop by. A whole lot to do with James Palmer, from NFL coaching searches to the wild card weekend and any other happenings around the NFL. But we keep on spending all week about this weekend, the 14 playoff teams. I know the Chiefs are on a bye. I know the Eagles are on a bye as well. But the season did end, and we got to kind of give some optimism, or maybe give some thoughts, because maybe the thoughts won't make you feel all that optimistic, depending on the suggestions, on the teams that didn't make the playoffs, on the 18 teams that are not in the postseason. And what's one thing they could do moving into the offseason this year that would maybe give you some optimism? So I'll start with my team, the Patriots. Now, I guess you could say you already got some of that news today, as there's a lot of reports that Robert Kraft did speak to Bill Belichick, and there's going to be some changes on the offensive staff. And I did read that there wasn't much resistance from Bill Belichick, that he knew what needed to be done this offseason. I don't expect that Joe Judge is going to be fired. I don't expect Matt Patricia is going to be fired, but reassigned, as I've been saying, all offseason. So you're going to have, at least you would think, some competent offensive mind coming in, whether that's Bill O'Brien, whether that's Cliff Kingsbury, or any other guy that at least has experience on the offensive side of the ball as an upgrade over that bozo the clown on the offensive side of the ball this year, and Matt Patricia. So I don't need to go advocate for a new offensive coordinator. I'm going to advocate for a player that's going to come on in and maybe help Mac Jones this year, because I don't know if Jacoby Myers is going to be back. He's a free agent. Kendrick Bourne's good, but not a number one wide receiver. And for some reason, Matt Patricia hated Kendrick Bourne this year, which made no sense to me. Devontae Parker will be back next year. Once again, not a number one wide receiver. Solid, but not a number one wide receiver. And I like what I saw when he was healthy from Tyquan Thornton, but once again, not a number one wide receiver. Now, you could have the Patriots go draft the wide receiver, and we know they haven't had success in the first round doing so. So I want a known commodity. And there's a guy that I've been talking about for now the better part of like a month and a half of getting traded, and that's DeAndre Hopkins. So my one potential move this season for the Patriots is DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I'll get to the Steelers here, Hickey. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see Diontae Johnson, who is not the best wide receiver on the Steelers, even though he's paid like that? After 1 year, it's clearly Pickens with that chemistry that Pickett and Pickens has. I saw our guy Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports do a video today. And I always find it funny how people come about this stuff, because it's as if someone's tracking, and then you find out, okay, this person unfollowed the team, but then he maybe never followed the team. But the reports are that Diontae Johnson, who we know is unhappy, and I don't know why he's unhappy in Pittsburgh, but he is unhappy with the way that this season did go and the way that I guess he was used, that now he's doing the bleep you tour and unfollow everyone on the Steelers organization, which I would say Diontae Johnson, like, go take a lap, you know, in the words of Mraz in the morning here on CBS Sports Radio. So I'll give you another disgruntled wide receiver who I think has a right to be disgruntled, and I think he is one of the more underrated wide receivers in the league. What about Brandon Cooks, Icky, who does not want to be a part of a rebuild? Another guy that signed a contract, like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this, but he's a good wide receiver. You go get Brandon Cooks, pair him up with Pickens. You got Pat Freiermuth and you got Kenny Pickett with Najee Harris in the backfield, as long as you get the protection up front, that's a pretty good offense with some weapons to put your young quarterback in a position to succeed and capitalize off the momentum that your young quarterback had down the stretch.
The only caveat that's needed with Brandon Cooks is when healthy, right? He's banged up, no concussions are a problem, but when he's healthy on the field, he is very good.
Now, I want you to quickly, I'm going to audible here, Hickey. Deshaun Watson, I want to play this audio. As Deshaun Watson, with everything that happened off the field at his own fault, somehow got this guaranteed contract, and because he got that guaranteed contract, and they give the resources as well in the draft department to go get him, you know he has power in that organization. Now, we know that there are coaching staff changes coming in Cleveland, but on the offensive side of the ball, Stefanski's still the head coach. So Deshaun Watson says he wants input in the offense going forward. Listen up.
That's something I think me and Kevin personally should talk about, you know, just between us instead of putting it out there. But, you know, we're going to sit down and, you know, met with him today. We're going to have a man-to-man conversation. Nothing negative or anything like that, but just what can we do to be, you know, better offensively and as a team, you know, because, you know, my next step in taking this, you know, team and taking that leadership role is really stepping out there and really taking this whole locker room under my wings.
Now, roll your eyes when you hear about Deshaun Watson taking a leadership role, but he does have all the power in that organization. Hickey, depending on how that conversation goes, and I know they said Stefanski's back next year, but if that conversation gets contentious and there is significant pushback from Kevin Stefanski, not surprise me if Watson goes to ownership, to the Haslam family, and say, this isn't going to work out, and then maybe Stefanski is on his way out. I would still lean that Stefanski is smart enough to know that he's got to get on the same page with Watson. But then you hear about how Baker and Stefanski weren't on the same page when Baker was there. Now, Watson is perceived to be a better player than Baker Mayfield. But it feels like next year, if things don't go right for the Browns, and Watson did not look good down the stretch, that you're going to get Stefanski quickly out of a job, and then Watson will get his own guy in there. Now, I know for a while Watson was always linked to go to Miami when Brian Flores was there. I did see that Flores is interviewing for their DC job, so maybe that's setting up the stage if Stefanski's not gone this offseason, and right now all indications are that he's going to be back, that maybe you bring in Flores as the DC, and if Stefanski and Watson still don't see eye to eye, then just maybe Watson pushes for, I guess, his guy, Brian Flores, to go get the job, Higgy.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, that's a good, I like that kind of connection. But yeah, you have to be on the same page. And like I said, Kevin Stefanski, he's not the one with the power in that organization right now, that's for sure.
No, he's the head coach, but we know the leader of that organization. I say leader in air quotes, just the guy that has the power, is Deshaun Watson. The Jets, here's your one wish this offseason, or one thought. Go get Lamar Jackson. If there is frustration and tension between the Ravens and Lamar, which we don't know if there is, we don't know if there isn't, the Jets have no belief or no optimism at that quarterback position. Mike White's not the long-term answer. Zach Wilson could say, yeah, I'm going to go try to make the life a living hell forever they bring in there. I appreciate that sentiment. He's shown he's not been a good quarterback. You got to give Jet fans a reason to believe with the roster that is good. Go try to go get Lamar Jackson. For Tennessee, I don't know about you, Hickey. Like, we know Ryan Tannehill won't be their starter next year, you think. They clearly don't believe in Malik Willis. They just went to Joshua Dobbs in a must-have game when Malik Willis's career is very young. I say upgrade the quarterback here, but I don't know who they're going to turn to. Because you look at the potential names, like, you think there'd be better destinations for Jimmy Garoppolo. You think there'd be better destinations for Derek Carr. Could Brady do his friend Vrabel a solid? Maybe. But I don't think that's likely. I don't think Rodgers getting traded this offseason. I say upgrade the quarterback, but I don't know how they're going to be able to upgrade the quarterback this offseason.
Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Yeah. Otherwise, Derek Carr, I say, would be an upgrade.
But once again, as I just said, I don't think are any of those names you think dying to go to Tennessee right now?
Dying, no.
Hey, it's going to be tough. Texans, you're not going to like this one. Make sure you get Bryce Young. Colts, you should like this one, but for some reason you don't. CJ Stroud, or you trade up to the number one pick and get Bryce Young. Broncos, I don't think they're getting Sean Payton. I don't. And I think the resources in terms of the draft capital they have to give up could prevent them from getting him. Not the money, but the draft capital they have to give up. I think this job is either going to go to Dan Quinn or Jim Harbaugh. If I'm the Broncos and it's between those two, I'm doing everything I can to go get Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh wants to go back to the NFL. He's frustrated with the NCAA. Is he frustrated with Warren Manuel? I don't know. Who's he frustrated with the administration at Michigan? I don't know. But Jim Harbaugh, when he's a coach of the NFL in the NFC West, three NFC title games in 4 years and a Super Bowl appearance. You're in the AFC West where you're going up against Mahomes, you're going up against Herbert. You need a good coach, and I think Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. Raiders, their dream should be Brady this offseason. You have Waller, you franchise tag Jacobs, keep Devontae Adams, McDaniels, Brady go save you one more time. Commanders, what do you like about this one here, Hickey? I'm going to give you a name, and it may contradict what his brother said on the NFL Network just because of ownership. I kind of like Derek Carr for the Commanders, where they tried to go bring in their guy this offseason. It was a dumb move bringing in Carson Wentz. Carr's good, not great. But with that roster, I think Carr's put in a good position, and they just fired their offensive coordinator, too, in Scott Turner. I think Commanders with Derek Carr is realistic and a fair option for them, especially if fans are doing backflips and trying to defend Carson Wentz when they brought him in saying that was a good move. Imagine when you're bringing a guy like Derek Carr who's better than Carson Wentz.
Right, finally bringing some quarterback stability you've been missing for, well, a very Forever. Long time. Yeah. Very long time.
Bears, trade the number one overall pick. There are enough teams that are in the top seven teams or so, eight teams in the draft, where you could fall back, they could move up, you could get a king's ransom, and continue to build that roster that doesn't have a lot on it right now. Like, you could fall back to two and get a whole lot. You could fall back to where the Colts are picking and still get maybe Jalen Carter or Will Anderson or beef up the offensive line. Go get multiple draft picks in the future when you're probably going to stick with Justin Fields and not draft a quarterback. That's what I would do if I'm the Bears. The Lions benefit from a Rams terrible season. I think you got to continue to add to that defense. I love what you saw out of Houston. And then also, obviously, Aiden Hutchinson, what he was able to do. Go draft another defensive stud where you're at in your positioning of the draft this year. Packers. I don't know how realistic this is, Hickey, but I think you got to know what the final decision here is of Rodgers. Like, what is your plan moving forward? Because I never thought that the Packers, when they drafted Jordan Love, thought they would give Rodgers another extension. They did that this last offseason. I think you have to have an idea and maybe even voice it to Rodgers on what the plan is on both sides and hash that out. Because if it's up to Rodgers, he wants to stay in Green Bay. Now, Gutekunst and LaFleur, I don't know where they're at. But I think you got to know when this deadline is, you know, when the expiration date is going to happen of Rodgers' time in Green Bay. Because I don't know about you, I'm sick and tired. I said this on Monday. I'm sick and tired of guessing and the drama game of what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. And I've said this now for the better part of the last 2 months. I think Rodgers is back there next year. And then after that, I think Rodgers is either going to retire or get traded somewhere else. I do think he'll be there next year, but I would just like some clarity on what they think they're going to do moving forward. I think it's going to continue to be year to year with Aaron Rodgers, just in the way that the Packers are going to approach it.
So bring to fruition what Aaron Rodgers promised in his post-game press conference. Don't hold the team hostage.
Ah, yeah, we all know he's holding the team hostage.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what you're asking. Don't come through.
Sure.
Don't hold them hostage.
Yeah, and do you trust anything that Aaron Rodgers says right now?
No.
The guy loves drama. He's addicted to drama. Panthers, I don't think you're getting Sean Payton. You don't want Jim Harbaugh. Doesn't that come off as a head-scratcher to you, Hickey? Where Harbaugh was interested in the Panthers, but from the reports, David Tepper was like, no. Like, they didn't want to go with Jim Harbaugh. Now, I know Harbaugh could rub some people the wrong way, and maybe the personalities of Tepper and Harbaugh, two alphas, would just be an absolute disaster. But if you're the Panthers and Jim Harbaugh wants to go there, shouldn't you be fortunate the guy's least interested?
You would think, especially when you go Matt Rhule, who had zero NFL experience, you're not hiring another college coach with NFL experience. You're hiring a guy who's been a winner in 3 of the 4 years he was in the NFL.
And in a weird way, not that people forget that, but is it because the guy's coming from college that that's why Tepper doesn't want it to happen. But as you just said, he's was an NFL head coach for 4 years and got the 3 NFC title games and a Super Bowl. If you ask Panthers fans, if you could just get to 1 NFC title game these days, they would sign up for that in a second. So I would think, since you're not getting Peyton and Harbaugh's not going there, or you don't want him to go there, I would say the best thing to do is to just bring back Steve Wilks. You don't give him a 5-year deal. You don't give him a crazy contract. But I think he should be the coach next year, because I don't know how much better you're going to get, and he clearly has the respect of that locker room. Here's one that I'm not dying to do, but I think it's going to happen. Ryan Tannehill played his best ball with Arthur Smith. Falcons right now, I don't think Desmond Ridder's the guy. If you can't get someone in the draft, or even if you can, I would bring in Ryan Tannehill maybe, if I'm the Falcons, to just kind of be a placeholder hickey, where you could bring him in and at least get competent quarterback play. And if you don't love the quarterbacks in the draft or can't get the quarterbacks in the draft, then you don't feel like you have to pick a quarterback right away. And you have someone that could be a placeholder to continue to develop a Drake London, a Kyle Pitts, Tyler Allgeier, and et cetera, on the offensive side of the ball for the Falcons. What about Ryan Tannehill?
I guess it depends what you're trying to accomplish. If you're trying to be competent, then yes. If you're trying to just develop, I would kind of look at Desmond Ridder for one more year and see what he can do. See if he can develop into that guy, see if there's anything there. But in terms of if you want to go stopgap, if you want to go veteran guy to kind of, again, bring more competency and start to win, I think it's a solid option.
Saints, here's what I got to know this offseason. Do you believe in Dennis Allen in the future? Is Sean Payton coming back? Or is Dennis Allen just the guy that's a placeholder that tears the house down? Cardinals. And I said this 2 weeks ago, and I felt even stronger about it as the days do go on. I think Sean Payton's going to be their coach. I really do. Now, the only hang-up and hold-up for a lot of these teams is the draft compensation. And what is it going to require to go get Sean Payton? Because even though you're bringing in Sean, and you would think he'd be worth the first-round pick, the Cardinals have the 3rd overall pick in the draft. Like, that to me is crazy. If Sean goes for the 3rd overall pick in the draft, like, I don't know, do you bank on a future first or something like that? Do you maybe try to do 2 second-round picks? I don't know what the compensation hickey's going to be for Sean, but we've seen before, like, Belichick went for a first-round pick, and that was when Belichick was with the the Jets, you know, and really was a, I don't want to say a failure as a head coach in Cleveland because he did win a playoff game up against the Patriots, but no one knew Belichick was going to go on to be the greatest coach of all time. And you even saw in Tampa and with the Raiders, the compensation had to go back and forth for John Gruden. So it's happened before where there's been high draft picks, but the 3rd overall pick in the draft, that seems like a lot.
And if you're the Cardinals, you can't really give next year's either, because if Kyler Murray misses the entire year, you're probably being another top 5, top 7 team.
Yeah, I just want, that's the only holdup for me with the Cardinals. I think Sean wants to go there. But does the draft compensation maybe complicate things here for wherever Sean's going to go? And finally, the Rams. Here's an interesting one. And hear me out on this. I think you believe, right, that Sean McVay is not coming back. When Sean McVay is letting his assistants, if they want to take interviews with other teams, do so. And his status is kind of in limbo. Now, you can make the case, if Sean McVay leaves, maybe Sean Payton comes in. But let's say it's not Sean. Does Stafford maybe reevaluate things and elect to retire? Even if he does come back, how much more of a window does Stafford have? You haven't been able to use draft picks the last few years because you said bleep those draft picks. So it's not like you can really fix some of the deficiencies in that roster. Aaron Donald maybe has one more year of football left in him for the way that he's at least made it known. Cooper Kupp is coming off an injury. Cooper Kupp, when healthy, is one of the better wide receivers in football. I think he's knocking, closing in on 30. I think he's 29 right now, Cooper Kupp. Should the Rams this offseason, assuming McVay does walk away and you don't get this big name to replace McVay, would you consider trading Cooper Kupp? Because as crazy as that seems to trade one of the better wide receivers in football, if you don't really have a window to get back on top of the next 2 to 3 years and you need draft picks, you could get a hefty price in return, I would imagine, for Cooper Kupp, especially when we've seen the last few years what the Eagles had to give up to go get A.J. Brown, what the Dolphins had to go give up to go get Tyreek Hill, what the ended up being a fair trade, but the Vikings and Bills, when they got Stephon Diggs, we've seen a lot of big-name wide receivers be on the move. DeAndre Hopkins already once was on the move, now going to be on the move once again. It would not surprise me if Sean McVay retires or walks away, goes to television, however he wants to word it, if then Les Snead says, even though we love Cooper Kupp, even though I've said F those draft picks, we got to go get some draft picks back. We got to kind of rebuild a little bit here and retool. And even though Kupp is such a valuable asset, he's closing in on 30 now. It doesn't look like he's slowing down, but he's coming off an injury. And maybe you try to find a way to recoup some of those draft picks by getting rid of Cooper Kupp. What do you think about that, Hickey?
I wouldn't do it for two reasons. One, I don't think this is a house of cards collapsing. If you're the Rams, if Sean McVay does walk away, I still think this is a chance where you can still turn around and compete and turn around next year and actually be a viable contender in an NFC that's very weak. And two,
their line stinks, though.
It does, but again, you make one trade or you sign a few guys. You know, I don't think it's that much of an ask to turn it around.
And Stafford's good. He's not. I don't think he's great, but he's good.
And he won a Super Bowl last year.
Coming off a big injury, though.
So I'll take my chances with that for sure.
And Donald looking like he maybe only have a year left.
But we talked about this last year a lot. The lack of respect Cooper Kupp got, and especially remember when you were on Radio Row, you asked a few receivers what's their top five, and no one really gave Cooper Kupp as an answer.
But those aren't GMs.
Right. I wonder how GMs view Cooper Kupp as either a standalone great receiver, or is it a guy that benefited a ton being the perfect piece in a Sean McVay offense? I don't know. But I think that's also could, you know, determine what draft compensation will go either way.
I'll tell you who give up a first round draft pick for Cooper Kupp, I would think.
Bill Belichick.
Uh-huh. I think a few other GMs would as well. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Did we get all 18 teams right there? I think we did. I didn't miss anyone, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's just make sure here. We're doing the Francesa counting. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. There we go. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, lucky number 18 coming back next.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, thank you very much. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It was pretty apparent, but we got confirmation of it yesterday, Hickey, when Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, is talking about why they got rid of Cliff Kingsbury. And then when he was asked, you know, what is Kyler Murray's role going to be in the search, and he said Kyler Murray's going to have some say in the next coach, and they're going to talk to Kyler Murray about who the next coach could be. The way that I translated that, Hickey, was everything that you saw with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray on the sideline actually became not only a problem, but I think Michael Bidwell understands, well, we already made the financial commitment to Murray, and we're expecting that he could still be the guy. It didn't work out in the end with Cliff Kingsbury. Getting rid of Kime, getting rid of Kingsbury, even though you have to pay them, doesn't hold back the organization, where if you try to get rid of a Kyler Murray, you got a dead cap hit that is attached to that, and then that would really hamper what you could do in building the rest of the roster if you had to pay or allocate money to Kyler Murray when he's not on that team. So I think Kyler Murray could still be good and still be a good quarterback. I don't know, and I've said this now for a while, I don't know if his ceiling is great. I didn't love the way that Kyler Murray did handle things, and I'm not excusing Cliff and some of his deficiencies were as a head coach, but there were a lot of times this year where there was tension on the sideline, and regardless of who you think is in the right or wrong, it just doesn't look good. Not that we are not allowed to have confrontations between a coach and a quarterback. We've seen them before a lot. But when it was in the frequency that it was, I thought it was a little bit too much. And you just wonder if maybe there's an accountability. Not wonder. I think it's fair to say there is an accountability issue with Kyler Murray. That maybe there is blame to go around in other places. But it doesn't seem like Kyler Murray is a guy that is able to own his own problems. And you saw that in the postseason last year. You saw that even though it worked and he got a contract in the way that a lot of those things did go down and how he felt like he was getting the short end of the stick and a lot of the criticism. So, yeah, if they bring in an experienced coach that I think is big and a guy that has a lot of clout in this league, I think that could be good for the Cardinals, obviously, but still, does Kyler Murray think his you-know-what doesn't stink so much that even if you bring in this great coach, yes, he'll get better coaching than what Cliff Kingsbury gave him, but if things don't go the right way and there is a little adversity, does he once again continue to show up his coach on the field? Like, that's what I just wonder with Kyler Murray. But when I hear yesterday Michael Bidwell say, we're definitely going to consult Kyler Murray and picking the next head coach and get his input, it makes me think that's the Cardinals basically admitting, yeah, all that tension you saw with Cliff and Kyler was big, and if this is going to work with Kyler, we got to bring in someone that those things aren't going to happen, because it does create just awkwardness and really just a little fracture in the relationship of what we thought was a strong relationship between Cliff and Kyler.
Well, it makes sense, right? You have to have a quarterback and a head coach not like each other, be at least on the same page, have the same, respect for each other, be on, have a similar idea of what philosophy works best, what offensive scheme works best. You bring in a head coach and the quarterback and him don't get along. Again, I don't think you should trust Kyler, but at this point, it's far too late. You gave him the contract. So now you got to make sure and make it as good as you possibly can make it. And that does include getting a head coach that could work with Kyler well, that he is receptive to hearing, whether it's criticism, whether it's, again, ways to run the offense. You got to figure out a guy that can, those two can work together in a symbiotic relationship.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't consult him, but I do think if his word is the end all be all, I think that is a problem. Because sometimes what an individual player think is going to work does not mean it works for the rest of the team. And a coach is a coach for a 53-man roster, not just one player. And I'm not saying that the relationship between the coach and the quarterback isn't important, but we saw a little bit, right, and I know the Texans are as incompetent as could be, but before we found out what happened with Deshaun Watson off the field, they said they were going to consult and get the input of Deshaun Watson. And I thought they opened up Pandora's box because he wanted them to interview Bieniemy, and they had to ask the NFL for, remember, they were past the deadline of when they could interview Bieniemy because his team was still playing. So they had to ask the league if they could go interview Bieniemy because Deshaun Watson was so upset with the team before everything came out off the field. So I just wonder if Kyler gives his input, and let's say it's candidate A who he really, really wants and has a relationship with, and then Michael Bidwell and whoever this new GM is goes through the process and it's not the guy that Kyler Murray picks, did you kind of shoot yourself in the foot as well? Maybe Kyler likes that guy, but if he doesn't love that guy and he wanted the other guy and that was the guy he suggested, you wonder just what it does maybe with what could be an attitude problem with Kyler Murray, and if it just continues to make a unhealthy relationship with the Cardinals. You got to be careful, because I think the input of players is important, but if Kyler Murray then translate that as the guy that I want is going to get the job and he doesn't get the job, even though you paid him to be the quarterback, this could get ugly, and even an uglier mess and a messier mess than the one that we're currently in right now.
That's part of the reason why leadership is so important. And if you're Michael Bidwell and you don't put those parameters around bringing Kyler Murray and saying, hey, look, we want to hear your opinions. At the end of the day, it's my decision or it's the GM's decision.
But once you open up Pandora's box there, even if you give that disclaimer, I think that's Kyler Murray thinking to himself, whoever I want to recommend needs to not only get an interview, but probably get the job.
But again, if he thinks that, it's not reality. That's on Michael Bidwell then to they're doing a bad job of not communicating of what the guidelines are.
Yeah, I once again, I just think it's a slippery slope when you go down there. Now, on the other side, we will give you our predictions because right now we got five jobs open: Colts, Panthers, Broncos, Cardinals, and the Texans. Maybe more to come. Maybe the Cowboys open up if this conversation doesn't go over well with Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski. Does the Browns job open up? But right now, what we know, Colts are open, Panthers are open, Broncos are open, Cardinals are open, Texans are open. And the guy that I'm going to predict that the Cardinals are going to go get, if Kyler Murray does not like this guy, then he ain't going to like anybody when it comes to head coaches in the NFL. So we'll do that on the other side. Update time first. I guess wearing Cardinals colors are close to him right now. You going to be the next coach of the Cardinals?
I'm bucking for that. That's the hope.
Be a nice payday.
Yeah, absolutely. Even for the first time coaches, they still get
guaranteed money. You stink at it, you'll still be living large.
It's not bad. Yeah.
Can I be an offensive analyst for you? Or an offensive line coach
absolutely.
Or something?
Live in Scottsdale, not the worst thing, right?
Works for me. I'm going out there, going out to Arizona for the Super Bowl. I'll stay there.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I just saw a very, let's say, interesting video during the break. Hot take Kiki, have you seen this Chargers video yet?
I have not, no.
So it is a Chargers video that says noted. And then it's all the receipts of everyone saying the Chargers aren't a good team this year. And they just posted that out there about 30 minutes or so. An interesting flex by the Los Angeles Chargers. And wouldn't shock me if after this weekend if the Jaguars beat them, a lot of people troll the Chargers troll here. Because the Chargers, what they did was they put a bunch of old takes out there about them where people saying they're not that good. Can you take a guess who from CBS Sports Radio starred in this video? Featured twice in it.
Starred. I will say
multiple takes from multiple different people, but there's one person from CBS Sports Radio that did play a pretty big role here in this video, or at least the Chargers thought they should have been playing a big role.
Jim Rome.
That would be incorrect. I'm surprised you didn't guess yourself here.
I don't think I've been that. I mean, I do not trust the Chargers, but I don't think there's any big dramatic takes about how dare you believe in the Chargers.
Well, it's not you. Any
Is
other
it
guesses?
You?
No. I think I've actually been pretty positive about the Chargers. I like their team, but I acknowledge that this season was all about just getting to the playoffs, and they ended up doing so. Now, there's been moments where they did look like they were going the wrong way, but I've always pretty much remained that the Chargers were going to make the playoffs, so it was not me. Would have been honored if it was me.
DA?
Yep. Two videos of DA saying the Chargers just aren't good. And honestly, I think that's a win for DA. When you get a team to mention you in a Twitter account or play one of your old takes, I think that is a win for DA. Now, isn't this funny? Because if you go back to, remember when Brady won the Super Bowl up against the Chiefs and the Bucs? Now, I don't think there's two people that hate Tom Brady more than DA and Mraz. But Mraz was in the Brady video, which was pretty badass for one of his old takes.
That was tweets, right? That one?
Yeah. I think it was like an up the gut column of his where he just said Brady wasn't good anymore and had no shot of going to the Super Bowl. And of course, you and Sean have that ability together where if you say something doesn't happen, then it ends up happening. So good for DA. I think that's some good, in a weird way, some good publicity for our network. And I say this all the time. Yeah, you want to be right. But when you just are paid to give opinions and predictions, you're never going to be right. It's the way that you just kind of formulate that opinion and are able to display it to the audience. And obviously, DA doesn't even mean to say this, but DA's done a wonderful job at doing that. But I find it funny that the Chargers, before you really even have won anything, like you made the playoffs. If you didn't make the playoffs, it would have been embarrassing that now they're pulling up all these takes. I think like Nick Wright is in it. I saw that guy from Fox that I'm not really all that familiar with that's on that show with Joy Taylor and LeSean McCoy, the guy from Dallas. He was in it as well. Who else was in that video that I saw? Mike Greenberg was in the video as well. And then you had DA too. Twice they put DA in there. So it's only like a 45-second video.
You know what? They're not wrong. I doubted them. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Now, it's not the Super Bowl, but I like the social media trolling.
Yeah, I guess so. But if you didn't make the playoffs, then it would be a disaster. What did you really accomplish?
Well, if they didn't make the playoffs, weren't going to make the video.
Obviously, but just getting to the playoffs, like you should have made the playoffs this year. You know, if this is after a game, let's say a panel on this weekend on Saturday all picks the Jaguars, then I think that's proper trolling. Just when you make the playoffs, with people saying that they're not good, for you to kind of troll, I think the Chargers are better than that, and they should just continue to pick fights with Emmanuel Acho for his dumb take that Justin Herbert is just a Super Bowl, a social media quarterback. Anyway, we got five jobs open right now in the NFL. Let's make some predictions. Indianapolis Colts. Hickey, who's going to be getting the Colts job?
Jim Harbaugh.
Interesting. I think it's a possibility. Now, they haven't requested for an interview yet with him. Do we have any update on that?
They'll have to request it. They can just do it because he's in college. But I've seen, they've not reached out, at least what I've seen. Jeremy Fowler is reporting that, according to one executive, that the Colts are number one in Harbaugh's list. But we do not know how the Colts feel about their former quarterback.
Yeah, it's questionable decision-making if the Colts are number one on his list. I'm going to go D'Amico Ryans. I think D'Amico Ryans should be a coach of this league. I think he has a ton of great energy. Defense, obviously, is a strength, one of the few strengths of the Indianapolis Colts. You got to bring in a strong offensive coordinator, but I'm going to go with D'Amico Ryans for the Colts. Would you be happy if it's D'Amico Ryans?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Let's see what his offensive staff is like, but good leader. Great review so far.
Panthers, I'm going Steve Wilks. I think they keep Steve Wilks.
You? Same. I'm with you.
Okay. The Broncos. This is where I'm struggling because I do feel as if Jim Harbaugh, where there's smoke, there's a fire, and I think he wants to go back to the NFL. Last year, I guess you could say he didn't broaden his horizons. He just went all in on the Vikings job. And the Vikings, he thought he was going to get it. He interviewed for 10-plus hours, and however you spin it, the Vikings did not want to hire him. Or there was enough people in the room that voiced concerns about hiring Jim Harbaugh. They end up going with Kevin O'Connell. So I think he wants the NFL again. But I look at these jobs that are available. Who are the teams that want him that are also a job that you would want? And I do think the Broncos would be in play. And even though I'm leaning on the side of Harbaugh going back to the NFL, for some reason, when I went through this exercise, I did not have Harbaugh in one of these five jobs. And the one that I considered was the Broncos, but I ultimately went, right, I just think the Broncos, even though they're going to swing big and probably write a ridiculous check, and maybe it ends up being Harbaugh, I just keep on having visions of Dan Quinn winding up with the Denver Broncos. So I think it's going to be between Quinn and Harbaugh. And for some reason, whether it's Harbaugh not wanting to go there, I think Dan Quinn is going to be the next coach of the Broncos. You?
I agree. I'll go Dan Quinn. I think they wanted to hire him last time. He's a guy with head coaching experience. They go with a guy with no head coaching experience last time, and Nathaniel Hackett. So usually you go the other way when things fail. I will go Dan Quinn as well.
Cardinals. I'll let you go first on this one because I know you're going to disagree with who I say.
I'm going to say Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator of the Lions. I think they saw the creativity. They liked it this year. That's one where Kyler Murray can work with. I'll go Ben Johnson.
I think it's going to be Sean Payton. And I said that 2 weeks ago. I'll say it again. The only skepticism that I have on Sean going to the desert is the compensation that it's going to take. Because remember, he's still under contract with the Saints for the next 2 years. They had the number three overall pick. If Sean really wants to go there, how much of a pain in the butt are the Saints going to be? Now, the Saints deserve to be compensated via trade for Sean. But is it going to cost that third overall pick? And then do the Cardinals say, okay, even though we'd love to have Sean, we think we could go get someone else? That could also be good, but we don't have to give up the third overall pick. I ultimately do believe they find a way to get a deal done. Sean has been with the Saints forever. Not that you just allow him to walk away for free, but I think they find a way to get two to tango and they get a deal done where Sean wants to go to Arizona and the Saints find compensation that they could live with for Sean Payton. So I'm going Sean to Arizona. And then here's the most difficult one of them all. Because the Houston Texans the last 2 years, they went with David Culley to be a placeholder. Then they fired David Culley after 1 year, which I know people are going to freak out about, but no one thought he was going to be the long-term coach. And you said, okay, now you're going to go get your long-term guy. Whether they wanted Flores and then couldn't hire Flores because he was suing the league, that's one thing. Whether they wanted to hire Josh McCown, but they were afraid of the optics of hiring Josh McCown. Or they didn't think Jonathan Gannon was ready. Like, whoever those guys were that were the finalists, they never intended, and I even think Lovie Smith was surprised, that Lovie Smith would have been the coach. So does it shock me that a year later Lovie Smith is out? No. Can you say Nick Caserio shouldn't be able to hire a third coach 3 straight years? Absolutely, because unless you have some success in this league, very rarely do you get to hire multiple coaches in this league. And if it's just two coaches, very rarely, if you failed on two, do you get to go hire a third? I don't even know if they'll interview Josh McCown, because here's the weird part about McCown. Hasn't gone on a staff anywhere in college or the NFL. Because he could have gave them an out and could have went on one of those staffs and then got promoted. But who knows? Saturday just walked off an ESPN set day and got a job for an interim basis. I don't think they're going to go back in on Brian Flores. I'm going to say it is Jonathan Gannon. They had interest last year. Can I tell you that Jonathan Gannon's going to be this great coach? No. Caserio comes from the Belichick cloth, though, so they do kind of some unconventional things. Gannon's done a really good job with that Eagles defense, regardless of what the fans in Philadelphia will say. I'm going to say the Texans, which is not a desirable job, even though they have the number over two overall pick in the draft, but you may be getting hired by a GM who could be fired in a year or two. I'm going to say it's Jonathan Gannon. Who's your choice here, Hickey?
I am with you, but one name to watch, I think Sean Payton would have more interest in this job than you think.
And they did request permission to interview him today.
And was granted.
Why do you think that?
Because I think if you're Sean Payton, you could sell easily to Cal McNair, full control of the team. With how
and then
off the tracks
donezo
they have been, yes. And you could get basically the entire organization to yourself. And then number two overall pick.
Can't you get that though in Arizona when you have Kyler Murray there and you have a GM spot that's open?
Well, it depends how you view Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray coming off an ACL injury, who's going to be out all next year.
I read one report today that Sean Payton does think highly of Kyler Murray for whatever that's worth. So I'm going D'Amico Ryan to the Colts, Panthers, Steve Wilks, Dan Quinn to the Broncos, Sean Payton to the Cardinals, and Jonathan Gannon to the Texans.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about. like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.